You know, God has called us into a relationship with himself, a relationship that's only possible through the person of Jesus Christ. And he reveals to us in his word that there's a path that we should take as we walk with Jesus. Many of us have been walking that path for a long time. Some of us have just begun that journey of following Jesus. And there are some here today that feel like they've completely missed the path, or they've gotten off the path, or they just have no idea what that path even looks like. We're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks as we dive into God's word and navigate this series of messages I'm calling Growth Track. You see, along this track or this path, the Lord gives us some key markers, some indicators along the way that let us know that we're heading in the right direction. Over the next few weeks, I want to share with you four of those key markers that the Bible says are critical if you truly want to become the man or the woman that God designed you to be. Let me go ahead and just give you the answers to the test right off the bat. I want to share those four indicators with you right now. We're going to call them know, grow, go, and sow. Along that path, these are four things that Jesus tells us are critical along the way. So today we're kicking off with a foundational marker, and it's a big one. It's the word know. Let me tell you something that makes our God unique. He's different than any man-made pagan God. He's different than any handmade phony God. Listen, our God, the God of the universe, is a knowable God. He's a God that already knows you today. He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And the Bible says he loves you right now just the way you are. God knows you. Mark it down. But there's something else you need to know today, and that is God wants to be known by you. I read something interesting the other day. According to the famous mathematician, Samuel Arbesman, he says there are currently 604,174 famous people that are well-known household names on planet Earth. It's fascinating. We live in a world where everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be known. We have entire generations that want to be verified on social media. We want to be trending on YouTube. We want to be viral on TikTok. We want to be recognized in public. We are a people that want to be known. But when you look at the numbers and you understand that there are over 7 billion people on planet Earth, what that tells me is that only 0.00086% of the world is considered famous. That's one person that's considered known out of every 10,000 people on planet Earth. So the truth is, most of us will never be famous, or most of us will never even know a famous person. But in today's world, we can still click a button and follow famous people, and to some degree, it makes us feel like we really know them. We can see what they're thinking, what they're doing, and who they're hanging out with. When you follow someone closely, you can learn a lot about them and begin to feel like you really know them. But I think most of us realize today that knowing someone and knowing about someone are two completely different things. Fabs Horsford said this: "We reduce knowing God to knowing things about God." And man, that is so true for many of us in the Bible Belt today. Many people claim to know God, but they only know about God. Many people consider themselves fans of God, but the Bible says being a fan of God still doesn't indicate that somebody personally knows God. Jesus even warns us about that reality in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Read that with me if you would. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' But then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" Clearly, it is possible to know about God and even be a huge fan of God, but never truly know God. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, that he never knew them, he means that he never had an intimate relationship with them. And it's important for us to know today that because we clearly see this through Scripture, that the abundant life is only experienced through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to get that. You can't just know about God. You have to know God and be in a relationship with him. And only in that relationship and through that relationship are you able to tap into the power of God and the blessings of God in a real and supernatural way. Let me ask you a question today. Do you ever feel like the devil is doing everything in his power to take you out, to discourage you, to destroy you? This week, I was reading from the book of Daniel, and I noticed as I was reading in chapter 11, Daniel describes his own context in a way that is remarkably similar to our context today. In fact, I want to read verse 32. It says, "With flattery, he will corrupt those who act wickedly toward the covenant." Read this. "But the people who know their God will be strong and take action." He describes his enemies as those who will threaten him physically and threaten him spiritually. And then he states that those who know God, like Daniel knew God, he's saying they won't give in and they'll be able to resist the threats of the enemy. You see, Daniel's life is a testimony of what it looks like to know God. In his context, it was impossible to merely know about God, but not really know him personally. He didn't live in the ancient Bible Belt where there is a significant Christian subculture. I mean, the edicts passed by the king regarding the king's food or the fiery furnace or even the lion's den either caused people to completely deny God or to completely go all in with God. In Daniel's culture, there was no gray area for the follower of Yahweh. Daniel resisted the enemy. Why? Because he knew God and he had an intimate relationship with him. And it was his relationship with God that changed him and allowed Daniel to resist evil and to rise above the challenges that he faced. D.A. Carson once wrote, "To know God is to be transformed and thus to be introduced to a life that could not otherwise be experienced." Man, that is so true. And God's word tells us that when we truly know Jesus and have been transformed by Jesus, there are several benefits that come as a result of truly knowing God and having a relationship with him. The first one I want you to see here is very simple. When we know God, we receive God's power. We receive God's power. Philippians 3:10 says, "My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection." In today's culture, power is often loud. Power is often noisy and forceful, and it implies control and force and manipulation. However, God's power is often demonstrated completely different than that. God's power isn't accessible by force, but rather through surrender. And what we're learning today is that when we surrender to God, it's evidence that we truly know God. Don't miss this today. Knowing God goes hand in hand with surrendering to God. And surrendering to God gives us access to the power of God. I remember back to when I was a little boy. Very vividly, my mom in the kitchen, and she hands me a jar of pickles and she asks me to open it up. I don't know if you ever had that moment as a small boy, but I can remember thinking, this is my opportunity to show my mom how big I am, how strong I am. And I'm gonna be honest, I grabbed that jar and I wore it out. I gave that jar everything that I had. But you know what? I knew I can't open this jar. I mean, I strained and I gripped my teeth and my face was turned red because I was trying my very best to open up that jar. But right there in front of my mom, I knew I couldn't do it. About that time, my dad walked into the room and he saw what was happening. But instead of just taking the jar from me and opening it up by himself, you know what he did? He put his hand on top of my hand And together we broke the seal and we opened that jar of pickles for my mom. You know, that's what it looks like when we surrender to the Father. He puts his hand on our hand. He gives us strength in our areas of weakness. And by us surrendering to God and knowing God, we're now able to live in the power that we never had before. This same power is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. You get that, right? And because of the power, when we know God personally, we can overcome temptation in areas where we used to fall. We can possess boldness in areas that we used to be afraid. We can live life in a way where we were never able to live prior to truly knowing God. Listen, when you know God, you receive the power of God. But there's a second thing I want you to see as well, and that is we see the world like God sees the world. We see the world differently when we know God. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, unfortunately, for followers of Christ, we still battle sin, and we're still limited in how we see the world. Our limitations hinder us from seeing the world and our circumstances through God's eyes sometimes. Knowing about God may make it possible to know what God likes and doesn't like. But it's only when we know God personally that we're able to see like God sees. When we spend time with people that we know, we gradually become more aware of what they like to eat, what triggers them to anger, what brings them joy, and other parts of their personality. In fact, we can become so close to somebody that we can even make decisions on their behalf because we know what they would do. We know what they're thinking. The Bible says God's ways and thoughts are truly unattainable. And yet God allows us by grace to have access to his mind and his eyes. You go to the book of Job, Job 34:21. It says, "For his eyes watch over man's ways and he observes all his steps." Or how about Psalm 32:8? He said, "I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel." When we know God, we naturally begin to see the world like God sees the world. And we are then able to receive his counsel and his instructions in ways that we could have never done so before. Listen, the Bible shows us when we know God, we receive God's power. When we know God, we see the world like God sees the world. But let me give you another one real quick. When we know God, we trust God more. We will trust God more when we know God. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." Some people read that and they're wondering, do I really know God? Well, this verse tells us, if you know God, your life should be growing in spiritual maturity. Now you may hear that and think, oh no, I'm in big trouble, right? That might scare you to death because you're thinking, man, I don't consider myself to be spiritually mature. I'm certainly not in line for sainthood in my life right now. But listen to me, spiritual maturity isn't primarily about knowing scripture and going to church and being able to argue your faith with unbelievers. That's not what this means at all. Spiritual maturity, according to the Bible, is ultimately about trust. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord." So you read that and you know what that's saying? You want to know how to grow spiritually? Here's what God just told us. You ready? He said, "Trust me." You want to grow in your walk with Christ? Trust God. But also get this today. Trusting God is only possible when we personally know God. When you know God, you will trust God. When you only know about God, trusting God is nearly impossible. In our youth ministry growing up, I remember playing a game called Trust Fall. Anybody else play that game when you were younger? It's a crazy game. In this game, a person was blindfolded and they would cross their arms across their chest. And then they would fall backwards. Now, The game is called Trust Fall because behind the blindfolded person would be 2 to 3 other people, and their job was to catch you when you fell backwards. Now, I'm going to be honest. When I was the one that was blindfolded and it was my turn to play the game, I always wanted to know those people, and I want to know who they were before committing to take the plunge. Because I knew that if the people were catching me were people that I could trust, I knew I could fall with confidence knowing that they weren't going to let me fall to the ground. Let me tell you something today. When you know God and He's the one catching you, you can trust that He will never let you fall. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 24, it says, "Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed, because the Lord supports him with his hand." What an incredible picture the psalmist gives us in that passage. Let's review real fast. You ready? When we know God, we receive God's power. When we know God, we see the world like God sees the world. When we know God, we trust God even more. But let me give you a final thought today. When we know God, we live more courageously. We live with courage. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus." Here's what I love about walking with Jesus and knowing him the way that I know him. It's almost like the more unqualified I am in the flesh, the more qualified I become through Christ. When we realize that apart from Jesus, we have nothing good to offer this world, but through Jesus, we can truly live and be maximized for his kingdom, we can then live with a boldness that we otherwise could never have. Peter and John weren't necessarily known for their courage prior to knowing Jesus. But once they were in his presence and filled with his power, they were given a God-sized portion of his boldness. Listen, when we personally know God, we will understand how mighty and powerful he is over our enemies and over our fears. When we personally know God, we will become more than conquerors and live courageously with that same supernatural boldness. Write this down today. You ready? God desires us not to merely know about him, but to personally know him. Maybe you're thinking to yourself today, that sounds really good, but in all seriousness, how do I get there? How can I truly know God today? Well, let me give you a few practical thoughts to consider as we continue in this message and try to answer that question. The first thing I would say is this: don't reduce God to a subject to be studied, but to a person to be known and experienced. On one hand, listen, we must understand God rightly. God desires for his creation to know him. And in order to know him, we must correctly know about him. There are many varying definitions and understandings of God in modern culture and across the world today. For instance, when I refer to God while talking to a Muslim in Egypt, it means something different than when I speak of God to a Christian in Chattanooga. You get it? I mean, we can't just assume that when we say the name God, that we're all referring to the same being. That's why God developed our Bible, so that we may understand who God really is. When we look at God's word as completely trustworthy, we'll then be able to construct an image of God as he intends for us to know him. However, on the other hand, God doesn't mean for us to just stop there. God wants us to know about him, but he also wants us to progress into further knowledge of him by knowing him personally. Once we grow in this relationship, we will then begin to know more things about God. It's like if you were dating somebody and you read their profile online, you're going to get to know them a little bit, but you're really going to get to know them when you start interacting with them, spending time with them. It's the same with us and the Lord. Yet many people reduce God to just some academic category to be studied and mastered. Well, let me tell you, that's never going to happen. I heard one author put it this way. They said, if we reduce knowing God in a deep relational sense to knowing things about God, then we're going to find ourselves producing disciples that look like demons. who have perfect knowledge of God, but refuse to treasure him. It's a strong statement. But the Bible does say even the demons know about God and they tremble. But in James chapter 2, verse 19, it tells us that they don't have a personal, intimate relationship with God. They know him right here, but they don't know him right here. They've been with God since creation. They've known about God much longer than you have, much longer than I have. And yet their knowledge of God has never been enough to save them. Listen, God means for us to experience him, not just to study him. God is too big to be mastered. He will never be fully understood on this earth. But at the same time, he can still be known and he can still be experienced today. Let me give you another thought today. Knowing God means spending time with God. If you're married today, you get this, right? You already know this. If you love your spouse, you're going to spend time with your spouse. But on the flip side, if you find yourself avoiding spending time with your spouse, man, that ought to be a huge red flag that something is wrong in your relationship. We say we know God. We say we love God with all of our heart, but many of us, if we're being completely honest today, we avoid spending time with God. Why? Why is that? I recently read an article that listed the top 10 reasons why we don't spend time with God, and it was a fascinating read. It really was, but it basically narrows down to this. It says we don't spend time with God, number one, because we don't want to. You know why you don't read your Bible? I can tell you why. It's because you don't want to read your Bible. That's the reason. The second reason was because it's difficult. You know why I don't run marathons? Because running marathons is a really hard thing to do. Training is hard, and most of us don't want to do hard things. Number three is because we don't plan to. The reason we don't pray is because we don't plan to pray. It's not a part of our life. It's not a part of our schedule. Number four, we don't think it makes any difference in our life. I think that we can all agree. We are the instantaneous gratification generation. And maybe we've prayed in the past and we didn't receive an immediate response from God. We didn't immediately see that prayer answered. And so now we just believe that our prayers don't make it to God. Therefore, our prayers aren't important. They don't make a difference. The next reason, number five, is because we're easily distracted. I'm sorry, what was I talking about? Never mind, we'll just keep going to number six. Number six is we forget that we're engaged in a spiritual battle. We tend to forget that the war has been won, but the battle still rages on. Listen, believers, we tend to forget Ephesians 6:12 that says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. We tend to forget that. We don't spend time with God, number seven, because we're not encouraged to. Number eight, because we are unclear about the purpose of this time. Number nine, we're discouraged by our failures. And number 10, because we don't know how. Man, we hear that one all the time. People are like, what do I read? Am I supposed to read the Bible and a study book? A devotional guide, a commentary. I mean, how much Bible am I supposed to read every day? One verse, one chapter, 10 chapters? That's exactly why being a part of a Bible-believing church is so important. A church that wants to equip the saints for the work of ministry and really teach people how to grow in their walk with the Lord. But listen, if you're going to grow in the Lord, you first have to know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, you ought to be spending time with the Lord. I recently heard Greg Laurie talking about this, and I love how he puts it. He says the creator of the universe wants to spend time with you. He wants to meet with you on a regular basis. Is there any appointment more worth keeping than this one? Man, what a powerful thought to think the creator of the universe wants to meet with me right now, today. He wants to talk and he wants to listen and he wants to spend time with us. You know what? Knowing will lead to growing. Mark it down. When you know God, you will obey God. And when you obey God, you will grow spiritually. According to a recent Pew Research study, it says 75% of American adults desire a personal relationship with God. And yet the fascinating thing is only 35% of Americans that claim to have a relationship with God spend time with him at least once a week. And yet we wonder why so many churches are filled with so many people that look absolutely nothing like the Jesus they claim to love and claim to follow. You will never look like Jesus until you obey Jesus. You will never obey Jesus until you trust Jesus. And you will never trust Jesus until you love Jesus. And you will never love him until you know him. Let me ask you a question today. Do you truly know Jesus today? Or do you merely know about him? Has there been a time in your life when he has completely changed who you are? Has there been a time when Jesus forgave you of your sins and he gave you new vision for the world and he gave you a new passion for his word and for his people and for his church? Do you remember the moment that Jesus gave you a new purpose for living? Listen, that's what salvation looks like. When you're saved, the Bible says the old you dies. The old you is no more. But when you meet Jesus, he gives you a new life. And he makes you a new creation, a new person, and you become incapable of being the person that you used to be. That's what it looks like to be saved and to have hope and have the assurance of eternal life. So let me ask you this question one final time today. Do you have that? Do you truly know Jesus? If not, you want to know something pretty awesome? You can meet him today. And Jesus can change your life once and for all. And he can do that right now. You say, how do I do that? Romans 10:9 says that you have to believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is. That he rose from the grave to pay for your sins once and for all. And it says you need to make him your Lord and you need to confess him as your Lord. So let me just ask you right now, if you want to go all in with Jesus, if you truly want to know Jesus today, are you willing to confess him as your Lord? Then do it right now. Close your eyes and say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord today. I'm going to ask you to save me today. I can't save myself, but you can. And so, God, I want you to step out of heaven and step into my life. I want you to take all of your perfection and I want it to cover all of my imperfections and I want you to give me power I never had, hope I've never had. I want you to make me a new creation in Christ because of what you have done for me. Today is my day of salvation and I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the fact that sinners like me can be saved, not because of anything we have done, but because of what you did on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And it's in your powerful name I pray, amen. Here's my question for you today. Did you just pray that prayer? And did you mean it with all your heart? If you truly meant that with all your heart, you should never be ashamed of that decision. In fact, you should be shouting it from the rooftop that a sinner like me, an imperfect person like me, can be saved by a holy and righteous God. And I was saved today. In fact, you ought to let somebody know. You ought to let us know. One way you can do that is by sending me a text right now. Simply send the word saved to 74784. For you, it may be a simple text message. It's one word, the word saved, to the number 74784. But for us, it's a really big deal because we're going to be having a party on your behalf. We're going to thank the Lord for answering our prayers and allowing us to minister to you today with the gospel. It's also going to allow us to get some information from you so that we can send you a gift. We're going to send you a copy of God's Word this week and some other resources that are going to help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter where you live on planet Earth. We want you to be a part of our family. If you're right here in the Cleveland area, we want to encourage you to connect with us on Sunday, on Wednesday, or throughout the week. Or if you're outside of our immediate area, I want to invite you to connect with us at extendedfamily.church. We celebrate your decision today. And for those of you who already know Jesus, let's all celebrate the fact that we have hope because we know our God.